Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the Pick 5 from Oakland on Saturday, April 11th. This is show number 59, April 10th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how's it going?
It's going well. Weather is really heating up. Supposedly, it's going to hit 80 degrees today, which is very warm for this time of year. That's the good news. The bad news is I have pretty strong seasonal allergies, and they really kicked in the last couple days. So if I sneeze, it's not because I have COVID-19. It's just allergies.
And how is Washington? I think I heard some good news coming out of Washington as far as the virus.
Yeah, I think, as they say, we have definitely flattened the curve. They're still getting cases in every day, and people, there are still some fatalities, but it's definitely not, you know, it's on the flat part of the slope. And if you, you know, if you compare to other states, there's 15 or 20 other states that have more cases per day now than Washington. So, you know, I think we're sort of ahead on the curve, but, you know, there's still a long ways to go. I think we all have to be patient.
Yeah, around here, it seems everything seems pretty calm. There's not hoarding, not too much hoarding going on. I found out yesterday that one of my neighbors has it. She lives pretty far away. It's a neighbor down the street. So they're self-isolating. But, you know, the symptoms aren't that bad for that particular person, like not having lung issues, having fever issues. So hopefully we'll get through this, and we will. It's just a question of how quickly.
Yes.
Okay. So today we're going to do the late pick five, the only pick five, I believe, at Oaklawn. Starts with the eighth race, the Oaklawn Park. Well, it's not a stake. It's an allowance, a mile on the dirt. Purse of $61,000 for four-year-olds and up. Why don't you get us started?
Oh, really easy race. Just kidding. It's pretty wide open race. A lot of lightly raced horses. Some are pretty good, well-bred, good connections. There is a horse I like quite a bit in here. That's the two-horse All West, trained by Wayne Catalano, owned by the West of Maximum Security Infamy. But they've had a lot of good horses over the years, including the sire of this horse. I think this horse is by Flashback. Yeah, that was actually a West horse that was trained by Wayne Catalano, I think, if I remember right. Anyway, this horse really more bred to be a sprinter, but in its second lifetime start, it tried two turns going a mile and 16th, and it was really professional. It tracked a decent pace. It was solid pace. It wasn't real fast. But when they got into mid stretch and Talamo went to the whip, he hit the horse a couple times and the horse just took off and really finished strong and galloped out well. And that was a pretty decent maiden field. We saw a lot of those horses in the maiden race last week. Copper King, who ran second in that race, ran second in the All West victory. So it was a decent maiden field, nothing special, but he really drew off and took command in mid stretch. And I really like that. Now he cuts back to a mile. So certainly the distance isn't a problem, and draws an inside post, and he does have tactical speed. Just a lot to like. It's 20 to 1 in the morning line, but we know from experienced last week, the morning line isn't very accurate typically in these tough races like this, especially when they're lightly raced. So I'm not sure what the post time odds will be, but they should be, you know, maybe 8 or 10 to 1. And I think this is the most likely winner in my mind. So there's a lot of other ones we can talk about. I won't say anything else for now anyway. And I'll just say my top choice, my pod pick will be the 2-horse All West.
Okay. Well, I agree with you that that horse has to be used absolutely on the ticket. He's not my top choice. My top choice, I spent a lot of time in this race because it was such a tough race. I had to believe my eyes, and the horse that I like and the horse that most impressed me in his last race, I didn't watch all of them. I didn't watch all the horses, all their last race, but I really loved Wild Poppet's race in his last race. First, he was DQ'd in a maiden win, and he came back for another maiden, and he won at a pretty low price. They were both sprinting, and the question is, will he be able to stretch? Well, the pattern looks great. Yeah, the number that he ran in his debut this year was equal to his best, and then he improved slightly on that in his next race. And whenever I see a slight improvement from race number one off a layoff to race number two, it's go time. So the only question is, can this horse get a distance? Well, should be able to get a distance. It's by Tappet out of an El Prado mare. And that El Prado mare is a daughter of Flanders. So the breeding says it should be fine. Now, the caveat that I need to alert people to before you, if you like Wild Poppet, there is one sort of thing to worry about, and that is that the trainer is 3 for 50 going sprint to route at Oaklawn with a bad ROI. He's never been in the money out of three races, going third off a layoff, sprint to route. He's got a bad record, first route and sprint to route, just in general. However, I'm still going to make this my top choice. I'm not going to single him because that would be silly. So that's my pick in the race, and I would go deep, and I'm sure you have some other horses. So before I mention the other horses that I like, I'll pass it back to you.
Okay. I see Wild Poppet just exactly like you did. I liked him more until I started looking at the trainer stats, and every way I tried to slice it, it came up negative. So that doesn't mean that this horse can't stretch out. Cause like you said, the breeding, if you watch the replays, it finishes well in the sprints. So, but that it is enough to make me a little bit nervous just because the trainer is so poor at getting the horse to stretch out. But I agree with everything you said about that horse. The horse just inside of him, Gallant Plunger, is the horse that he beat and then got DQ'd and taken down against. That horse is really similar. It's an Asmussen-trained horse. Asmussen just took over, has started him twice now, sprinting, and stretches it out. And this is another horse that's really bred to stretch out. You know, he's Candy Ride out of a Dyna former mare. So this horse should be much better the farther they go. And Asmussen's really good at stretching them out. So, but when you look at the time they ran against each other, Wild Poppet, I thought, looked better. But, you know, going the route of ground, this horse might even be better than, well, Brady might even be better, and the trainer's definitely better stretching them out. So those two are both live, I think, and ones that you'd want to use, the 4 and the 5. And they're both at fairly good prices on the morning line, although you would think the Asmussen horse will get bet more than the Randy Morris horse. So those three are – there's one other contender I like, but I'll wait and let pass it back to you. I don't want to, since you had a couple other horses, but I agree with you. Wild Pop at the five and number four, Gallant Plunger. Both horses stretching out that are bred to run better going two turns. The difference, I think, is probably from a training standpoint. Gallant Plunger is a little bit more reliable from a trainer standpoint, but that doesn't mean the horse can't stretch out.
Yeah, and I meant to point out that Wild Poppet bobbled in his last after the start and was pretty far back, then closed really fast in less than 12 seconds to win, and just destroyed them on the gallop out as well. So just another reason to like the horse. The only question is, can he get the mile? And, you know, I almost purposely want to go against that trainer stat, because when trainer stats distract me, let's say that Randy Morse is 3 for 50 going sprint to route at Oaklawn. Well, he could be, after tomorrow, he could be 4 for 51 and still have a bad record. And just won it with a horse that was 10-1 or higher. So
yeah, he could win 10 in a row. It'll take a while for him to get that stat up. But I agree that you don't want to talk yourself off the horse. I would just lower, you know, I kind of set odds lines for horses. I would just lower the probability that he'll win, but I wouldn't lower it down to where he can't win. I think he's a solid play, and it all depends on the price. So you're right. You know, you don't want to overuse those, but you do want to think a little bit. You know, there's enough data there that says this trainer's not really good at preparing him for that first route or going from sprint to route. That doesn't mean the horse can't overcome that, but, you know, you do have to factor that in. That's all.
Yeah. So the other horse that there's a bunch that I want to use, but another horse that I think you have to use, especially at 15-1, which I don't know if that'll hold up, but that is Starship Zeus. Now, this horse is only 3 for 56 lifetime, but he did run 3 races ago about his fastest ever, and he's trained by Diodoro, and his last race was in the slop. So I would include that horse, and I would also include Gallant Plunger. I would include the 1 Bandit Point. I would include Fast Talking, Proverb, Determinant, and Pickford. So I would go 9 deep in this race until I'm talked off of several horses.
Yeah, it is a kind of a spread race. I probably wouldn't spread as much if I play the pick 5. To me, this is a race where if you're going to play it, you probably need to. You can't just play them all. If I feel like I have to play them all in here, I'll probably just play the pick 4. One thing that we haven't mentioned is there is some rain in the forecast for the afternoon. I think it's supposed to start about 4 o'clock. You know, this is, I don't know what the variability is in the forecast, but they said like 4 o'clock that showers could start, which would be about when this race starts. So if the showers start early, it could be wet. And so you might want to think about that. And Starship Zeus is one of the horses in here that his worst races have been on sloppy tracks or something. You know, the 2 times he's been on it, he hasn't run that well. So I think, you know, that's something to factor in there. We'll have to wait and see, because it's hard to predict the weather. But maybe that's harder than predicting the races, but that's something just to keep in mind, especially as in the later races in the card, by the last few races, it might've been raining for a while. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. The forecast is completely in flux, and it's always been sloppy whenever I've been watching Oaklawn this year. So I'm kind of expecting that slop to happen.
Yeah. So yeah, same here. It seems like it rains there all the time, at least whenever I play the races. So keep that in mind. One horse I don't know if you mentioned, the 3 Mo Gotcha. Did you mention that horse?
I didn't, just because he's one of the slower horses, but he has an interesting pattern. But with the 4-1 morning line, which is probably wrong, that was a horse that I thought I could sort of remove for value reasons.
Yeah, he Englehart, I liked several of his horses last week, and none of them really ran. So that makes me a little bit less enthusiastic about Mo Gotcha. But he is making second start off a layoff. He's got good speed, and he does have good breeding for an off track if they do run on an off track. He's never really run a bad race. They tried blinkers on him last time, I think. And now they're taking him back off. Or no, they had him. He's worn him all his life, so they're taking him off now. Which he's been on the lead all the time, which makes me think they're going to try to get him to rate in this race. And he gets Tyler Bayes, switches to Tyler Bayes, who's a pretty good rider that likes to save ground. So my guess is they're going to try to take this horse back a bit off the lead and tuck him inside, try to cover him up. And, you know, he's the kind of horse that could run a big race if he responds to that change, if in fact that's what they do. So, you know,
plus he gets 9 pounds from All West.
Right. He gets in really light. And so, you know, that horse, I think you'd have to use him if you're playing the pick five. So for me, those inside four horses, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I might try it if I play the pick five, try to get by with those four. The only other one I was thinking of maybe using is the 7 horse. I think you mentioned Fast Talking. He's been really ouchy, but he has some excuses for his last couple. I'm not sure Reeve McGahee is as good as Shug McGahee. And so that remains to be seen. He's been in charge of the stable at Oaklawn. But this horse is really well bred to stretch out. It's making its first route like the 4 and the 5 are. It's got some breeding that enable him to do that. Also has some really good muddy track breeding. So third off a layoff with some excuses in his first two stretching out. That's the kind of horse I probably wouldn't want to leave off either, because, you know, it may respond to the change in distance and going third off the layoff. So that's probably the ones I would use in the pick 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7. And I would probably go with the 2 horse as my key horse in the race, All West. I like that horse quite a bit.
Okay. Well, I agree with Fast Talking naturally. The mother was a turf router. And anytime you get some Ghost Zapper breeding in there, that's something to like, and the sire is flatter, so he gets distance horses. All right, we'll move on to an easy race, the Oaklawn Mile Stakes. It's the 9th race at Oaklawn, a mile on dirt, $150,000 purse for 4-year-olds and up. This is probably where I have to single a horse if I'm going to play the pick five, and I have a really hard time finding anybody to beat Tom's D'Etat. He's simply faster than these. He barely gives away any weight. It's pretty much equal weights. He shows a sharp workout at Oaklawn. The trainer said that they were pointing for the Ben Ali Stakes at Keeneland. And since that's canceled, they said, hey, okay, well, we'll run here. And if they were pointing for the Ben Ali, then I think that he's probably going to win this race. He will be a low price. I don't think it'll be 3-1. He'll probably be more like even money. But he's the horse that I sort of have to single if I'm going to play the pick five. And I just don't see anything wrong with him. If I was going to use a price play somewhere else in the sequence, I think Bankit would be my price play. He was fast at age 2. He was solid at 3. He got faster at 4, his first 2 races this year. And then his last is excusable because it came off a double top and it was in the slot. He should run his best today and can get in the try at a price. And if you don't like Tom's D'Etat, certainly a horse to consider putting into the pick 5.
Yeah, Tom's D'Etat is one of these horses who's just a really really solid horse, just always runs well. And, you know, he just doesn't quite get the publicity you'd expect him to get. Part of it is he doesn't run. Well, I can see lately he's been running some of the bigger races. I'm not sure why he doesn't get more credit than he does, but he's so solid. Just really great horse. I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer or anything, but just really, really nice, solid, graded stakes horse. And he does run well every time, even off layoffs. He is 7 years old, so that's always a little bit of a concern. He's starting to get into, for dirt horses especially, you don't typically see top dirt horses. Well, partly they don't stay in training this long, but you do, this is when they start to tail off a little bit. So that's a bit of a concern, especially off a layoff. It may be a little bit harder to get him ready, but last year he came off a similar layoff and ran really well right off the bat. So I can't argue with you at all on that, although he doesn't have any upside for sure. If anything, he might be on the downside of his career. And the horse inside of him, the two, Mr. Money, who's a horse I've always liked, you know, he still does have some upside. And he's another horse that's been really, really consistent. He did tail off a little bit at the end of the year, but that's not unusual for three-year-olds that run all year long. And his one poor race in the Breeders' Cup, that was that really weird track after they had messed up the track to try to make it super safe. And a lot of horses just didn't run that day at the Breeders' Cup, and I think he was one of them. So I'd excuse that one. And if you excuse that one, you know, he just strung together really good races. And I think he really is a natural one-mile horse, this is a one-mile race. He has tactical speed, so he always makes his own trip. And his trainer, Brett Calhoun, is really good, really good off layoffs. So, and this horse has been training well. By my standards, his stable mate, another horse that we've always given some love on the pod to, you know, he is a similar kind of horse, trained really well and ran well off the layoff. And this is his stable mate. I think he'll fire off the bench. He'll get a good trip. He can definitely improve off of his form last year, which to me says he could beat Tom's Détat. And I do think Tom's Détat will be much lower than a 3-1. So Mr. Money could be 4-1 or higher. I think he'll be a lot better value. He's, to me, the horse that I will probably lean on the most, along with Tom's Détat. You know, the other horse you have to talk about, which you didn't mention, Scott, is the 14 horse Improbable. That horse has been a money burner his entire career. He draws extreme outside post. He tends to find trouble in every race. You know, he'll get bet, Bob Baffert at Oakland Park. So, you know, he could win. He's got a lot of talent, but, you know, to me, you can get some value by beating him and Tom's Détat with Mr. Money. So, you know, I'm a little more in the Mr. Money camp here, although I have a lot of respect for Tom's Détat. And like you said, Bankett's an interesting long shot. He had excuse for his last. He's a solid closer. He doesn't like sloppy tracks, so if it is raining, I would downgrade him. His sloppy track races clearly are not as good as fast track, at least the ones he's running so far. And one thing to keep in mind at this 1 mile distance at Oaklawn, they have the short stretch, which I think favors front runners, which I think is a little bit of a negative for Bankett because he doesn't have much of a stretch to close into. So, you know, that's kind of where I am. The only other long shot I would mention in here is the 8 or 9 horse Home Run Trick. There's a lot of speed in here, but he might be the speed of the speed. It is the short run into the stretch. And he broke through the gate before his last race, so I would toss that last race. And he has some fast races at Oaklawn in the past, including a pretty good race on a sloppy track. So, you know, he's an interesting possibility. at really long odds. He's 30-1 on the morning line. So I don't know if he could win, but if he could get the lead, he might hold on for a piece at a big price and help in the exotics.
Yeah, and he's got a pretty serious back number last April 5th, home run trick at Oaklawn. And this is his third off a layoff, which the trainer is very good at. He hits at 20% with a 232 ROI. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned about the speed aspect of that as well. The time form does have this as a fast pace. And so I'm a little concerned about home run trick, but absolutely, if he can get that lead and it's not too insane, he can run a number that can win this race. I do think that there's some other possibilities, but they're kind of remote. So I think we can go to the next race unless you have any other horses you were interested in.
No, that's fine. We can move on.
Okay. So the next race is the 10th at Oaklawn, a maiden special weight, a mile and a 16th on dirt, purse of 60,000 for 3-year-olds. And I guess it's your turn to start this one.
Yeah, another really easy race here. this one is really wide open. I do have two really long price horses that I like in here. I'm trying to decide which one I want to talk about and then turn it over to you. I'll go with the one horse, Prodigious Bay, who is making his third start, his second off a layoff, and his first going two turns. He drew the rail. Drayden Van Dyke's riding. He's very quick, has lots of early speed, and his breeding is okay for stretching out. He's by Byron out of a Fusaishi Pegasus mare, so there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to get, you know, the stretch out to two turns. And there's a good reason to think he might be able to get the lead in here and clear. And if he does, there's no reason why he couldn't win. And he's 20-1 on the morning line. So anytime I can get a horse doing something new that it should be able to do well, like stretch out in this case, and he has a good post and a good rider, and there's a good chance he might get the lead and even get a clear lead at 20-1 or, you know, double digit odds. I don't know if you'll get 20-1. That seems like a pretty good play in a race like this. So number one, Prodigious Bay, is definitely one that I'm interested in the 10th at Oaklawn.
Okay. Well, that is a very interesting play. It's not one of the horses that I had included. there was a stat there, speaking of negative trainer stats, Ron Moquette, second off a layoff, going sprint to route, 4 for 49 with an 0.55 ROI. So again, you have to be careful with those trainer stats, because he could be 5 for 50 after this race and still win the race with a 20-1. But that does concern me a little bit. This is a crazy wide open race. There are two horses that I'm interested in. The first one, which I guess I'm going to give my top pick, is Instigated. He's run some solid numbers, but he ran an off race in his last. Now, he was reported gelded that day, so I'm not sure if that means like they announced that morning that he had been gelded, or after the race he was gelded. But guessing he was gelded before the race. So he ran an off race, and now he is second time gelding. And pod listener Dominic Capos Caballos, guy from PH, will enjoy that I'm using the second time gelding angle. Since that last race, he has worked notably faster. So whatever was bothering him probably is not bothering him anymore. And the trainer shows a 266 ROI at Oaklawn. So I, you know, there's a few other things I like about the horse. mainly though that he's run a bunch of good races, and then maybe he had an excuse by running that last race and off race. The other horse that I would absolutely use for sure is Hunt the Front. He's, I think, the 11 horse or the 12 horse. He's the 12 horse. He's improved every single race. He ran a very solid race in his last race. He is slightly faster than any other horse in this race. And I see no reason to think that he's not going to keep improving. So he is a threat to take it all down. And he's 6-1 morning line. I'm not sure if you'll get that because he's been second in his last two races. But, you know, 3-1, 4-1, he's a horse that I think you have to use. And I'll turn back to you for your other long shot.
Well, just a couple comments. Hunt the Front, I agree. He's a contender. The post and price make me a little nervous. Plus, Joel Rosario, like, single-handedly destroyed me a couple weeks ago. So I'm nervous about playing anything he rides, although now he'll probably win every race. But yeah, you know, Hunt the Front is definitely, you know, a contender. Instigated, I like all the things you're saying about him. The thing I didn't like was the change in barns, even though his trainer is doing pretty well. It went from Norm McKnight and before that, Mark Cassie. And the first time in the barn, the horse ran its worst race in last four or five. But the being gelded part is interesting. So, but that was the trainer part is makes me a little bit nervous there. But at a price, you know, definitely 10-1 in a wide open race. And that, with that.
Yeah, that trainer is hitting at 24% in this year of 2020. He's 7 yeah. for 29. So, you know, he's no Norm McKnight, but he could be the next one.
Yeah, and he's doing something right. They did have that one bad race when he got it, but then they gelded him. So, you know, that can make a big difference. I absolutely. So the other horse I like in here, is probably a little bit of a stretch, but I like the 6 horse Yugo. He's only made one start, and that was a sprint, and he barely picked up his feet. But you know, they did not try to win at all. I mean, that was a clear prep only, and that was a sprint. And now they're stretching him out and putting blinkers on. And to me, you know, this is a kind of horse that might really, really run a big race because this might be the go race. I think last race was just strictly to you know, get him used to the whole routine of being in a race. And now they're actually going to try with him. I have no idea how good the horse is. His race wasn't that. I mean, it looks terrible. He got trounced. But that was the race that had Wild. Remember, we just talked about a little bit ago, Wild Poppet won that race. And, you know, so he's pretty good. This is just a race where I think, you know, this could be kind of a put over kind of a horse who, if he's good, he could run a big race in here. So I wouldn't, you know, bet with both fists or anything, but I would not leave the 6 horse off in the pick 5.
Well, I agree with that. He is a sibling to a horse that was faster routing. So it just makes more sense for him. And I did watch that last race. He broke from the rail. He looked a little bewildered, and I figured it had to be an educational, like, let's just get a race into him. He was under the whip in the stretch, but the jockey wasn't really riding the horse. He was just, you know, like, I have to make it look like I'm trying. He's got bullet workouts since then, some really nice gate works going into that race, and the same trainer. The same jockey who the trainer hits at with 286 ROI. So yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And Stay Thirsty is a pretty significant distance sire influence. So this horse should really stretch out. And the trainer, he's second out sprint to route. He's 1 for 4. And he hits at 19% first time blinkers. So there's other things to like about him.
Yeah, he's 25% second time starters too. So I didn't mention that. The trainer, that's a good trainer stat on him. So anyway, it's just that kind of horse that, you know, he didn't do any running at all in the first race, but look out, because you know, that was probably not a race where they were really trying to run well. So in these kind of races, those horses are the ones you got to be careful of. They can blow up your pick five.
Yeah, I have a rule when it comes to playing the pick five. If I'm actually going to seriously tackle the pick five, any second time starter has to be included, unless it's just, you know, trained by some horse, you know, just it dogged it in his first race and the trainer's terrible. You got to use them. So with that in mind, I would also use Overshadow, the three. You know, first race was in the slop and ran okay. Like, you know, was off kind of slow, took plenty of slop in the face, and the trainer can hit with second time starters. And he also has his best workout since that race, going five furlongs. I would also use What a Country, who will get played because he was second to that horse that was double disqualified because of using whatever they used on the horse, Blackberry Wine. So you have to include those two horses, and you got to, of course, include Yugo. And I would also use Oxide, and I would use Dean Martini. Dean Martini's not going to be value, but it would be really hard for me not to take him, considering that his last race was almost about good enough to win this race.
Yeah, this is definitely the spread race in the sequence. The one horse you didn't mention that probably I would use for sure, other than the one and the six and the 12, is the 11 horse Wartime Hero, who's a first time starter, Catalano and West again. He's very well bred, has some good workouts. Catalano and the West do pretty well together. And I don't know what his numbers are, but I'm sure he wins 20% plus percent of the time with them as an owner. So as a first time starter, it's the kind it's hard to leave off in a race like this. A well bred horse, good connections, good workouts. And, you know, that's kind of hard to leave out as well. But this is a spread race for sure.
Yeah, my only negative on that horse, he does have good breeding and a couple of fast workouts, but no fast gate workouts. So that's the, you know, the only caveat there. The trainer does, when he starts first timers for the West, he wins at 22%. So that's a pretty good number. So I probably can't include him because I'm already going pretty deep in the race, but certainly wouldn't talk anybody off of him.
All right.
The next race is the Oaklawn Stakes, the sort of faux Arkansas Derby. It's a mile and an eighth on the dirt, purse of $200,000 for three-year-olds. It's my turn, and this is a pretty tough race. There's two horses that I'm interested in. The first one is Flapjack. Flapjack comes from New York. He slammed into the horse next to him in his last race, and he was wide the entire trip and still held gamely. The number came up pretty good, and he has a bullet since. I think he could have some talent. I did not get a chance to see the Arlington stake race that he won as a maiden, but there is a trouble line in there. I'm going to make sure I watch that race. So he overcame trouble in that race to win. And then he still ran really well against a horse that Mischievous Alex is a very fast horse right now, and clearly fast at a mile. So I'm interested in him. He also has a nice workout since his last race. And then the other horse that I would have to use is Farmington Road, who is the 12. Now, probably not going to get 6-1 on a Pletcher, but The horse has improved every race. He ran very well in his last race. He was very wide. He's still got a, you know, he's got a bad post here, but there's going to be time to straighten him out, to sort of save ground. Numbers wise, I have a hard time keeping him off the ticket. So those are the two that I was thinking about going relatively skinny in this race with those two horses. What do you think?
Well, I'm with you on Flapjack. In fact, in that race you described, that was one we covered on the pod, and I picked him in that race. He didn't have a great trip, and I was a little worried because he was through a wide post anyway. But he didn't. He had a wide trip, and he did some trouble. So, and he still ran well. So I definitely think, you know, if 20-1, which you might get on that horse, definitely he's live. And I'm also agree with you that Farmington Road is definitely a contender. Probably not great value. The post is not ideal, but it is a mile and an eighth, so they have a pretty good run to the first turn. But you know, it'll take a good ride to save any ground. He might get parked wide. So those two, I think, are contenders. I do think though that, the one horse Basin is really strong in here. I thought he needed his last race. And you know, he definitely could run a big race second off the layoff. He was really good 2 year old. And there's no reason to think he can't go two turns. That last one, you know, like I said, I think that was just a race he needed. He was kind of up close to a really hot pace that Nadal was setting. He couldn't quite keep pace with that, but he didn't really quit. You know, he still held on for third. And, you know, to me, it wasn't a great trip. It was off the layoff, his first time going two turns. Against a really good horse that he sort of made a little bit of a middle move there and got within a length of Nadal and then got a little tired at the end, which you'd expect given that trip and off the layoff going two turns for the first time. So to me, that sets him up for a big effort in here. There, Nadal is not in here. The Baffert horse you get in here is 1,000 Words, who will probably get way over bet. And definitely is beatable, the 4-horse, 1,000 Words. So to me, Basin is really strong in here. And I might, if I play the pick 5, I'll probably really lean on him a lot and use him quite a bit. And then maybe include some with Flapjack and Farmington Road as well. That's kind of where I'm seeing this race. I think Basin looks really solid in here. So he's probably my actual pod pick. 7-2 is not great value. It's okay. But if they do bet that Baffert horse and they bet down the Pletcher horse, maybe you get 3 or 4 to 1 a Basin, which seems pretty good, especially if he's a horse you're keen on in the pick 4 and pick 5.
Yeah. I saw that 7-2 morning line and I thought it's probably going to be that. Maybe not, especially since Asmussen has been having a bad losing streak or relatively, I think it's over, but it was long. The one concern at a price of at the low price of 7-2, if he is 7-2, I'm kind of looking for reasons to beat him. And I agree that his last race was completely excusable. It was in the slop. It was his first time going two turns. He had a nice workout going into that. But the breeding is a little bit sprinty. Just looking at the siblings, the mother was faster on faster sprinting. I don't think any horses in his family tree. I'm talking about immediate siblings that ran faster routing than they did sprinting. And then the other thing that I sort of negative, another reason to not like him at 7-2 is that that huge race in the Hopeful came on a sloppy track and it was a pretty big race and it put him on the shelf for the rest of the year. So I'm always a little bit wary. It wasn't like a gigantic number like Hidden Scroll ran in his first race on the slop, but it was a pretty strong number. And I don't know. I feel like if he is 7-2, if he gets bet, he's a horse I'm not that interested in. And it's a tough sequence. So I will probably, if I play it, if I play the pick five, which I'm leaning toward playing it, I will not include Basin. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but there are, you know, a couple of negatives there, and I have to sort of take the 7-2 at face value.
Yeah, I think we see it very different. I'm much higher on him. Look at the stats on Liam's map as a sire, though. He has been plus route horses. So, you know, I think that you're underestimating the breeding on at least the sire side. Liam's map has been really good with horses stretching out. So you might want to check that out.
Considering that you like Basin almost as much as you like Kamare, I may have to include him.
I agree. It's a win. As a win bet, I wouldn't play him. But to me, this is a horse where maybe you, I don't know if I'd single him, but if you're at least as a single A in here, because I do think you're getting value by beating the Baffert horse. If without the Baffert horse in here, then it wouldn't be quite as strong of a play, I think. But with Baffert in here, I don't think he's going to be the Basin's going to be the favorite. And I definitely think he's the most likely winner. So, you know, anytime I can get a horse I think is the most likely winner that's not the favorite, that's the kind I like to lean on and like in a pick four or pick five. Doesn't have to be a big price, but at least I know a lot of the money will be flowing through the favorite and you're getting some value in there. So that's just kind of where I am on this one. So, you know, we just have a difference of opinion on that. I think we both agree on Flapjack as a live price play and that Farmington Road fit. It's just, you know, I'm sort of negative on the Baffert horse and positive on Basin. And you're a little bit more, you know, leery about Basin. And you know, it's legitimate that, you know, he hasn't really run a bad race. That I would have liked that last race to be better than it was. But given the way it unfolded for him and the trip he got and the conditions and stuff, you know, I think it was better than it looks. And so, you know, I expect him to run pretty well in here.
Yeah. And it should be noted. First of all, I haven't watched the replay of that race to see, you know, just keep my eye on Basin, see what happened. There is traffic mentioned in the trouble line, the running line. He ran very fast early in that race where he was chasing Nadal. His first quarter was the fastest quarter of the race for him. And the second quarter was almost as fast. And they got 141 and 147 time form numbers. That was Nadal running that fast. Basin got a 135 and a 136 for his second quarter. That does look like a pretty insane race. So I'm going to have to watch that race again. I certainly anybody who's gone in on a pick five with another person, has to be, you got to make sure you're flexible. And, so definitely a horse that I will return to especially since you like him so much.
Okay. Well, it's a fun race. It'll be interesting to see that. I mean, it's neat that they had this stakes race when I think this would have been Arkansas Derby day. And so this is sort of like the stand-in for the Arkansas Derby, which they're actually going to hold on the first Saturday in May. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this one.
Yeah. And I have to rewatch that race that Thousand Words ran his last race. I'm inclined to go against him, but Baffert said there's something in the DRF about he was never relaxed in that race. There was an apparent excuse, but you do notice that Flavian Pratt is not along for the ride. So maybe that's the tell that he's not good, but he's got a really sharp workout April 4th, last Saturday at Santa Anita, 112-2 going 6 furlongs. that could indicate that he's ready to go. So it's a tough race, and final pick four play, still pick five play to be determined.
Yeah, Baffert's always dangerous, especially at Oakland. But you know, his 3-year-olds, when they run bad races, that's a really, really bad sign this time of year. That's why I'm really against this horse. I mean, any other trainer, you know, maybe they, but you know, his last two races are not as good as these races as a 2-year-old. And for a Baffert horse, that's just, you know, a really negative sign to me. So.
Yeah. Point taken for sure. And I'm inclined not to use him as well, but I do want to take a look at that race and see if there's anything, if I can determine any kind of an excuse. So we'll go to the last leg of the pick five. It's the 12th race at Oakland. It's an allowance optional claiming, mile and 16th on dirt, purse of 62,000 for 4-year-olds and up. And I will send it to you first.
Oh, another really easy race. There's two horses I like in here. For one thing to keep in mind in this race, it's not a lot of the races we've looked at so far have had a lot of early speed. This race is not full of early speed. So right away, I start looking for, is there a horse in here that could take advantage of that lack of early pace? And to me, that horse is possibly the 3-horse Hunk of Burning Love, who isn't a need to lead type or anything, but it has good speed, and it drew an inside post. And there's a good chance that it's definitely going to be forwardly placed. And it has won going wire to wire several times in the past. In fact, I think its last, let's see, one, two, his last, the last two wins it's had. In fact, it's every win in its life. I think it's won at least four or five are all wire to wire. So when it gets the lead, this horse is really tough, and there's a good chance it could get the lead in this race. So 15-1 morning line, has a good workout, a good recent workout, since its last, you know, that makes that horse really dangerous, and it's fast enough to win this race. So could have a tactical edge, and it's a horse that's shown that when it can get the lead, it can be pretty, pretty strong. And Ingrid Mason had just claimed this horse several races back. So this is the third start for her off a layoff. And you know, this could be the race where she gets paid off for that claim. So that's the first one I like. And I'll turn it over to you. There's another horse I like quite a bit, but I want to give you a chance because it might be the horse you like. So for me, number 3, Hunk of Burning Love is definitely one you want to play in this race.
Okay. I'm going to concur on the horse's chances. Circling back to his best and was rank and in the slop in the last race. So there's an excuse for not winning. Yeah, I think. Big advantage there on the inside. I'm also going to go with the inside, and that is with the 2, Colonel's Dark Temper. He has one big back number as a 3-year-old when he won the West Virginia Derby. That race he won on the lead. He always likes to, every one of his wins are from either on the pace or just off the pace. And given that he's on the inside now with Calvin Bo-Rail, I think that he can run a good effort. And he's run flat since that 3-year-old year. He hasn't come close to the big number, but he's got a circle back pattern that's circling back to a level that is almost fast enough to win this race. And if he can break through and just improve and get closer to that 3-year-old top, he can win this race. I could just see the inside trip and Bo-Rail getting sort of a -1, getting on the -1 path and saving ground. So he's my pick, and I would use a couple of other horses, but that's my pick in the race.
Yeah, I like him too. He does have some tactical speed in a race without a lot of speed and a good post, like you said. So, definitely one you want to use, a 20-1 morning line, pretty, pretty juicy and you may get that. The other horse I liked quite a bit in here is the 9-horse Cashanova. This is sort of a standard horse that I always like to play. He's a 4-year-old, second off a layoff, had a nice comeback effort, you know, now should be ready to run a career best, second off the layoff, trained by Brad Cox. Just a lot to like. I think 8-1 on the morning line, given the trainer, I don't think you'll get 8-1, but I think the horse is going to run big and it's one you'd have to use. So I don't know if it could be a win bet, but it's certainly, I would say probably the most likely winner, really close to it. So one you'd have to use in the pick five, Cashanova, the number 9. There's some others, but I'll toss it back to you.
Well, I had Cashanova as one of my top 3. My only concern is the track. His 2 wins and his last race, which was also a good number for him, they all came on off tracks, sloppy or muddy. Now, he could get a muddy track. It could be off tomorrow, and he could love it. And he's 2 for 3 at the track. So, yeah. It makes sense. But if it's not an off track, and even if it is an off track, I always sort of view those numbers with a little bit of skepticism. We don't know if it was the off going that propelled the horse going forward. So I'm on the fence. I'm down to 3 horses in the race and he's one of them, but I'm sort of like
one note on that though. Okay. He didn't run really well on his first race on an off track. It was the first time, his first start, so it might be other excuses. But all 3 of those good off track races were also happened to be the 3 times he started for Brad Cox. So, you know, they're and he has wow. does have That's one bad point. Race, and he does have one bad race on an off track. So, you know, I don't think that the off track had that much to do with it. But clearly, he can run on. But I wouldn't be too worried about that if it's a fast track.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll mention my other horse, and then you can advise me on whether that's the horse that I should lose from the pick five. Because if I play the pick five and I use 3 horses, the way my ticket is structured right now, if I use 3 horses in this race, it's $162 for a caveman. But if I lose one of these 3 horses, then it's only 100 and change. So the other horse that I'm interested in, who's not going to be a great price, is Popular Kid. He just ran 2 bang up races also in the slop at Monmouth, at Oaklawn. And he's got a back number. So it wasn't like those were insane. Those weren't even his best, his best 2 races. They were his 2nd and 3rd best races, at least on the figures I'm looking at. The thing is, he's a 6-year-old and they weren't quite his best, so he might react. I don't know. What do you think on this race? I mean, what do you think on this horse specifically?
Yeah, this is a really tough horse, because if Jerry Hollendorfer was still training the horse, to me, you know, he's like most likely winner for sure. But without Jerry Hollendorfer, who he trained him in his debut this year, his first start off the layoff, and he ran big. And then he got claimed by Jason Barkley, who's an okay trainer, not Jerry Hollendorfer. And the horse won again. But a lot of times, right off the claim, you know, you kind of get the residual fitness or whatever from the previous trainer, but that second off a claim is when they're going to tail off. Plus, this horse has ran 2 big races off the layoff, and it's a 6-year-old, and it has a negative claim second start. You know, just a lot of reasons to expect, and this horse doesn't have a history of stringing together good races. So you know, I think there's a really good chance the horse regresses, but if it has one more good race in it, it could certainly win. So, you know, it's definitely going to be an underlay, I think. But it's kind of, that's really hard to completely leave off because it's got those fast races. I mean, it's faster than anything in the race that is on its best day, but there's a lot of reasons to think it will regress. So it's a really tough read for me in this race.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, because he has those big wins, he's carrying 124. So not only is he carrying more weight than most of these horses, but he has those two big races that he may react to. I'm sort of on the fence, maybe leaning against just because he is going to be the lowest price of the horses that I'm interested in. And for the concerns that you had. On the bright side, he is 2 for 2 at Oaklawn. He's 5 for 9 at the distance. He's 6 for 23 on a fast dirt track. He's 3 for 7 on a wet dirt track. So maybe, you know, maybe he's just on. So numbers wise, he's a horse that I'm supposed to use. Decision to be made later. I will tweet it if anybody's interested, who I decide to lose, or maybe I'll find a way to include him on the ticket. I don't know. There are, you know, some things to like there.
Yeah. Well, he also has, he shouldn't be too far back, which is good in this race, I think. And he gets Rosario, who, like I said, he's a really good rider. He just killed me a couple weeks ago at Gulfstream, but you know, he jumps on. So yeah, I mean, this is the kind of horse that wouldn't be surprised me at all if it really runs poorly, but it's the kind that, boy, you'd kick yourself if it wins and you didn't include it, right? Because it's the fastest horse in the race. Apparently, it's in good form. Just kind of anticipating a regression because of the big efforts off the layoff and the barn switch. This is a horse that are really to decide how you deal with, really is.
Yeah, the two horses that he beat in his last race have both come back to win. So I, you know, I'll probably have to watch when, you know, when in doubt, when you're not sure, just watch the horse's last race or two, because that'll often be the tell, right? And if you're going to be investing good money into this pick five, and this can triple your price, or you know, add a third of the, you know, sort of add 50% more to your price, you know, make sure that he didn't just absolutely collapse on the gallop out, and, you know, sort of fortify your case that way. So I'll do that, and I'll come up with a decision on Popular Kid versus Casanova.
Yeah, for me, I would choose Casanova, but I would probably use both. but I wouldn't do a caveman ticket. So the way I would use both is I would probably have Casanova on my main ticket, and I would have an Popular Kid on my ticket where I've got to be real right on most of the other legs, you know, with my top choices. Whereas with Casanova, he'll be on the one where I'll have a few more long shots in there. So, you know, the way I play it, I'll probably have 10 different tickets, and sometimes it drives you crazy because you have all the horses, but not on one ticket, but it gives you a chance to include more horses. And if you're right on the one races, you have the strongest opinion, you can maybe get lucky and catch a long shot or two in the other legs. So that's kind of the way I'll play it.
All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap up our pick five pod. Did you have any other plays in races besides the pick five?
I not at Oaklawn. I did look at a few races at Gulfstream. Let me see if there was anything. I'm kind of glancing through my notes. See if there's anything worth, you know, probably nothing I want to talk about right now. Maybe I'll tweet out a few plays. I did look at Gulfstream. I'll probably look at some of the races there. They have some pretty good races there. And so maybe I'll tweet out a few picks if you follow on Twitter. And maybe it's a good time to remind people of our Twitter handles. I'm at Derby1592, and Scott is at CarsoniPH. So we typically on Saturdays, while the pod races are going on, are on Twitter, and we might be tweeting out a few opinions on other races. So follow us if you're interested.
Okay. And I did not get a chance to look at any other races because this pick five was brutal. And that's actually why I don't want to go too deep in it. That's why I'm probably going to have a caveman ticket. That'll be a light ticket for action. Because I think if you really want to tackle this thing seriously, you're going to have to put some money into it.
Yeah, which is a mistake I made. I tried to go, I was same sort of thing. I got intimidated by last week's pick five. I thought it was to really feel like I was confident I was going to hit it. I was going to have to spend more than I typically do. So I played a little ticket and I almost hit it with the little ticket and it paid $22,000. And I know I would have had it if I had put a little more money into it. So now this week I'm probably going to put more into it. It'll pay, $200 or something. But yeah, I was a little disappointed because I had some really good opinions last week and I did end up had a good day. But I could have had that $22,000 pick five if I had loosened the purse strings a little bit and played a little more aggressive ticket. So that was disappointing.
Yeah, you go deep and you have to risk a lot. And if you have to trim, you're going to find some way of losing that pick five.
Yeah. So you trim your way to, trim your way to insanity is what you do. So.
All right. Well, that will wrap up show number 59 of the PH Pod. Good luck to everybody this weekend, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.